We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects, an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Ready? Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
One of the best heavyweights to ever do it, man.
Deontay Wilder, who's fighting this Saturday, October 15th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Welcome, brother.
Thank you so much for having me.
How you feeling, my brother?
I feel great. How about yourself?
I'm blessed, black and highly favored. You know, man, you and Tyson Fury went to war. You know, last year, and I'm sure a lot of people saw the fight, man. But when I saw it, I felt like it was one of the best heavyweight fights I ever witnessed. And I left that fight feeling like, man, those two guys are warriors. Like, I didn't feel like there was a win or loss in, as far as, like, just y'all two as men. What did you learn about yourself after that fight?
Well, for me, it's just, you know, I handled a lot of things that I had control of and the things that I didn't have control of. You know, I wanted to test myself. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see how relentless I was, how limitless I was, you know what I mean? So I learned a lot, but I knew a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I just wanted to test myself with a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? I know it's a lot of black and gray areas of what I'm saying, but I abide by the saying, what's understood don't have to be explained. So who all understand me, you know, I don't have to be explained about it. But it was a great fight, you know? It was a great fight, one in the history books.
Absolutely.
Everywhere I go around the world, you know, people talk about it, and love to see the fight.
All right.
I can't say nothing but great things about it.
Mm-hmm. I saw you said a fourth one might is not ruled out for you.
It's not a real doubt?
It's not like you would potentially do
it. Not
a
ruled
fourth.
Out.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, the heavyweight division is very small. So while the numbers are small, we can fight each other 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. It's not like all the other divisions where it's super packed. You know, so I think that's a great thing about the heavyweight division, where we can get in there and fight multiples of time. Only if the, you know, the fighters are willing to do so, mm-hmm. you know. So lonely the heavyweight division. And it's been, I know when I left for a little bit, you know, a lot of people were drawing me back in and different things like that with their excitement and stuff. So now I'm back and just bringing more excitement back to it. We got a lot of things going on. Different champions has been developed, and it's gonna be great. You know, I'm looking forward to this fight come Saturday as well to add to the excitement. You know, the Barclays Center here in Brooklyn has been some of my most dramatic, some of my most memorable and electrifying knockouts. So
yeah, I remember that first Ortiz fight I saw at the Barclays.
Yeah. So I'm looking to add to that excitement here mm-hmm. again. So when I came here, I just felt so great. You know what I mean? I'm like, I ain't been here in a long time. I haven't fought him here in a long time. And it's just, you know, you just get that positive. I'm all about energy. Mm-hmm. You feel mm-hmm. the, you know what I'm saying, the vibrations of it. And when I came here and set foot on ground, I was like, oh, man, I feel like I'm at home.
You know what I mean?
So it's going to be good. I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to it.
I was going
to
ask, you talk about the heavyweight division. You know, as a kid, that was the biggest thing that we watched, right? We always watched the heavyweight, whether it was Tyson or Holyfield, whoever it may be. Why do you think the heavyweight division is not as big as it was growing up?
I mean, we got a lot of things going on here in America. You know, back in those times, I didn't think they have so many different sports, so many different things going on, especially even before that time where you just had, you know, during the Tyson, even during the Ali times, you know, mm-hmm. boxing was one of the main things because of all the other different sports that wasn't occurring. Right now, we compete against so many different things. Mm-hmm. And I think the publicity side of it, I think they can do more far as getting fighters out there, just like the UFC. You know, mm-hmm. I was up in Vegas training at the Apex mm-hmm. up what Dana White does up there, he turned a $2 million facility into and sold it for $4 billion, and he did it with none fighting record fighters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But his thing is records is for DJs. You know, so he took like 13 and 20 guys. You know, 1-19. Being that the winning and losses, you know, and turned it into a mega facility. Mm-hmm. And every time those guys come in the facility, they got cameras in their face. They have media training and mm-hmm. different little things like that. They'll just keep you know, their faces in the fan, you know, out in the public and different things like that. And I think that's what boxing needs. You know, I always say this is not a sport, it's a business, overall business. And within the business, you got the green eye monster, and most of the time, people are looking to fulfill their pockets mm-hmm. instead of where the concerns of the fighters and what it takes to get them out there, you know. And I think that's one of the things that's lacking, you know, in this business, just to promotion wise, of getting out there even more so than ever.
But everybody don't have a personality. Like, you got a personality, Fury got a personality, because everybody got great fighters, but mm-hmm. they just don't have personalities. Yeah,
that's true too. That's definitely true. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk. You know, they just, I don't know if they're scared to say the wrong thing, or they don't know what to say, or if it's a fear factor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Some of them get nervous. I mean, this is like I said, this is a business. And every time we step in the ring, we're risking our lives for others' entertainment. Mm-hmm. That is true. So maybe, I don't know.
I think said too, with records, you know, because it's, and Floyd Mayweather didn't mess it up, but it was part of the reason. Like, everybody wants to be undefeated, right?
Mm.
So now, if you lose a fight, it's almost like they make it seem like your career is over.
Right. Well, you don't know the sport then.
That's what they do. They make it feel like if you lose a fight, now your ranking goes down.
They don't know the sport.
What the rank is, but that's
every great has lost. Ali lost. Mm-hmm. Tyson lost.
And people love a comeback story too.
But now everything is into zero losses. I want to see how far you can go undefeated. That's so true.
That's y'all, you're hitting the nail right on the head. That definitely with the winning and losing, you know, everybody have that idea of, just like you said, if you lose, then you go down. But it really the opposite. The more you lose, the more opportunities you actually have. You know, I've seen guys lose so many times, and every time you turn around, they're in a title fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's crazy. All these guys say, I got to keep winning, And then when they do lose, you know, the fans and certain things, they I mean, I don't know. It's crazy, man.
How does it affect you mentally when you have a loss and then people are talking crazy online and there's memes? Because it's a different day and age now
for
boxing, with things going viral, people posting things. So does that affect you at all? Do you ever get irritated about it?
I think everybody's different. For me, like, I don't dwell in what people say about me or really care too much. I think it's one of those things, either you have it or you don't. You know, certain people care about what certain people say. But for me, I understand that this is a big world and you can't please everybody. And anybody that try to please everybody, they're gonna go crazy. You know what I mean? And you just can't do it. So with me, it's like it goes in one ear out the other for me, because I'm so blessed. I'm so highly favored. I got a beautiful family. I got a beautiful support system behind me. And you know, I just don't, I know my mission at hand. I know my task. I know what I need to do in life, and worrying about others' opinions, I block it away from me. I shield my heart all the time. I shield my space. You know, that's why I'm always positive, always positive speaking, positive believing, and with all those combined together, I equal positive results. And that's with my whole team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They say, what you want to be and what you want to become, you surround yourself by that. Mm-hmm. And all my team are loving people. We speak positivity amongst each other, amongst the world. And that's what we come out with, you know, because a lot of people can be very cruel. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of people that are miserable out here. You know what I mean? They say misery needs company.
When you were on The Breakfast Club before, you went viral for some comments that you made about killing your opponent in the ring. What did you think about that? Do you think people misunderstood what you said? Because I saw you also were talking about being in the Barclays and being nervous that you, you know, your opponent might not get back up.
Mustaf, I think a lot of people take what I say, you know, out of terms. A lot of times, especially with the media, because with the media, they'd rather be first than being correct, you know. Mm-hmm. And for me, if you understand the business, you understand that once we step in the ring, that's the item that comes with it. Our life is on the line. I don't think people understand that, you know, being a fan or watching it from the outside looking in, you really don't understand how much of a jeopardy that we take when we step in that square ring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The head is not meant to be hit in the first place. Mm-hmm. Doctors always tell me that. You know the head is not meant to be hit. When they tell me about my power and my body frame and how it doesn't equal out, that if I hit something, I'm either going to do three things: hurt the person I'm hitting, hurt myself, or it's going to be both. And along with that, they were like, you know, the brain is not meant to be shooken, and especially when you're trying to learn about the body and you're trying to make sure you have the right nutrition in your body and do the right thing to prepare for war, because that's what we're preparing for, is war. And I understand automatically that what it comes to. So I'm only speaking what can happen. You know what I mean? Really, we're not trying to kill each other, but at the same time, I ain't trying to be nice in there. I'm not trying to go all the rounds, you know what I mean? Because no matter you go first round or 12th round, it's the same money. So, you know, like I always say, I don't get paid for overtime. So with that being said, that my demeanor that I must have on the outside and then coming in on the inside, it's just a whole different, it's a change up. And if I hit a person right or whatever, it can happen. So it's just the obvious of things.
If you don't have that killer be killed mentality, you might be the one who get killed.
You'll be the one.
You can't hold back.
You can't. You just can't. And this is not a nice business. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's filled with crooks. And I ain't here to downplay the business, but I only speak the obvious of what it is. And this is what we deal with. This is what we sign up with. And true enough, I love doing what I love to do. You know what I mean? In this business, I've seen where it can make you come from poor to rich and wealthy. It can make you wealthy and go
and
poor.
Again, yeah.
You feel me? And it's just a up and down roller coaster with it dealing with the business. But overall, if you know how to maintain yourself and handle it and have the right people around you, I mean, it can
have
make
you
dreams
had
come true.
Some bad financial things happen while you were in this business?
Not as far as people stealing from me and different things. Yeah, for sure. For sure. These last two, 3 years, I've been cleaning house.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, I've been cleaning the house.
Because you've made a lot of money.
You got to see it with the pandemic, huh?
Most definitely. And then, you know.
You got a great financial team, though.
Oh, man, I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's
the beautiful thing about
Salute the Humble.
Know, boxing, that I don't have to ever step in the ring again in my life. Right. And when I was coming back, that was, you know, what made me feel so great and made my heart warm was my financial people called me. And it was like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're like, this is the reason why we built you to the point where we built you, so you wouldn't have to come back no more. What you doing? I like, you know, I know.
You talking about Humble, right?
Yeah, that's my guy.
That's, you know, mine, I mean? Too. Yeah.
So, you know, and I told him, I had to explain to him, once I was presented a statue, I like, it just changed the whole levels of me and my mindset of thinking and how I motivate and inspire people all over the world. You know, I'm always for my people. That's what I always been for. That's what I use my platform for when others fear to do so. You know what I mean? But, you know, being able to have a statue in the heart of Dixie like it was, where clans used to meet, where blacks was prohibited to come to unless a white person drove them to work at the house, mm-hmm. and where they sold slaves up the street, man. And to see so many people all over the world come down and join hand in hand with me and my family to celebrate my revealing of a statue, and see men and women break down in front of their children and point at me and say, this is what a role model look like. This mm-hmm. this is a true king. This is what you want to be like, not me. You know what I'm saying? And when I see stuff like that, it's just like, it allows me to know how important one is in the world to others. You know what I mean? You can go all the time and meet so many different people, go to so many different countries and meet so many different people, and you can see the impact, but not really understand, you know, the real importance of it until you see certain things, you know, especially as men, because we always taught to show, you know, don't show no love.
That's right.
You know, I always gotta have tough love, or mm-hmm. don't cry, or whatever, that show weakness or whatever. But if you really understand, crying is nothing but a cleansing.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's nothing wrong with crying. It's That's a right. cleansing. Now, sometimes if you cry too hard, it can bring a domino effect with a lot of other things. Just like when you're taking certain medicine, it may treat a certain thing, but it caused certain things to happen to you as well. It's just mm-hmm. like, have you ever cried so much that your head started hurting? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You feel a certain type mm-hmm. of way, these emotions and stuff like that. Sometimes that can occur, but it's a cleansing. You know, I had one guy in the gym not too long ago. He going through something. I got the discernment of the spirit. I can feel things by aura, energy, and emotion. I have vision sometimes as well. A lot of people don't know. But with this guy I had, you know, this is the mirror of sparring. I mean, after we got finished sparring, he was going through something. I can feel him all over just talking to him. And man, we end up crying in the gym together. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And they don't understand. That's just a part of me. You know what I mean? I connect with people. You know, and that's just all types of people. And the things that he was going through, I was there to comfort him, to motivate him, to just give him a hug. Sometimes we just need somebody to say, I love you, brother.
That's real.
Look him in the eyes and I love you, and really sincerely give hugs and mm-hmm. and let somebody know that you really care for them. You know what I mean? Because in the world that we're living in, especially in the times and days like these, sometimes I sit back and I'm like, this world is going crazy. You know what I mean? Sometimes he is scared to raise children in this world or whatever. I think about moms all the time. I think about my wife all the time, certain places and stuff. Hey, make sure you got you got stuff on you. Make sure, you know, you're aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes when you living in a certain world, especially when you got life, it seems like what is made for you, mm-hmm. you live in your own bubble.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
When every day somebody looking at you, I always tell people, you all of us, somebody looks up to us. We mm-hmm. motivate, we inspire. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, we always got evil looking and preying on us too. And I'd rather be the predator than the prey.
Yeah, you know, you said something earlier because you was talking about when Humble called you. And I ain't gonna lie, I thought the same thing. I'm like, why is Deontay coming back? Like, you don't got nothing to prove.
Mm.
You don't have nothing to prove to back. Nobody. You done did it, you wealthy. Like, what's the reason? What you just explained.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I'm a people's person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love people. And I love seeing people succeed and making them do great in their life. Even mm-hmm. even if they're doing better than I'm happy, because I tell people I soak in my happiness and my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're happy in that peace, no matter what your finances is, no matter what your surrounding is, you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, I've been both. I'd have been broke, and I'd have been, you know, and I've been to the point where I have money. And all that don't mean nothing if you ain't happy in that piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the saying is, it's lonely at the top.
That's real. Yeah.
Because they ain't at peace. You mm-hmm. can have $1 billion and be miserable and not be happy. And you can be the only one at the top because you don't know who to trust.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to watch your back. Mm-hmm. Even your best friend. A lot of them buying friends and stuff. And then you get to the point where you just jumping off the cliff. You committing suicide because that's mm-hmm. why it's lonely. It ain't lonely because everybody ain't got it and they ain't made it there yet. So you just waiting on everybody to come up there. Now it's lonely because you don't know who to trust. You don't know what to do because you trying to keep your money and everybody else trying to take it from you. So it get to the point where jumping off the cliff.
You know, I wonder, right? Like, are you that much of a perfectionist that? Because I remember after the Ortiz fight, and then I think it was the first Fury fight. You were like, nope, I gotta go. What do you say? I gotta co-correct these. Leave no doubt. I think you were saying. You said, I don't want to leave no doubt about these fights, so that's why you went to fight Ortiz again, then you went to fight Fury again.
Yeah.
Is that the perfectionism in you? Is just like, nah, man, I got to make sure I beat these guys.
Most definitely. It's just something within myself, mm-hmm. not only just what others say, you know, because I don't really dwell in what others' opinion about me or what they say or what they think. You know, I mean, I get the confirmation for myself and mm-hmm. God, you know what I mean? Yeah. But when there's certain things that within myself that you can leave doubt. You can feel a certain type of way. You feel unaccomplished or certain things you wanted to do that you wasn't able to do or you didn't do it at that moment in time. And especially with the Ortiz, you know, they'll make up all types of excuses about certain things. The referee can break it up and if you in your corner longer than certain time, they giving them more time and all mm-hmm. this and it, like, you don't get no breaks in the business of boxing. So with that being said, I like I said, I don't want to leave no doubts in nothing, not even with myself or even with others, you know, and that's why I take up on certain challenges, you know, that's not even my mandatory or I don't even have to fight at the time, mm-hmm. but because I, especially with Ortiz, you know what I mean, that's my guy right there, that's my brother, you know what I mean, and fighting, it does bring you together. I mm-hmm. mean, it can bring you apart, depends on how you handle the situation. But with Ortiz, I see a man that defected from his country for his family and came here to America to try to build and was a great fighter. But nobody gave him an opportunity because for one, southpaw, and his skill level of being able to be a southpaw. We don't have many southpaws in boxing. Most of them are orthodox, which mean right-handers. But he had the skill level, and his determination was through the roof to support his family. His daughter was born with a type of condition, as well as mine as well. So I immediately had a connection with him, mm-hmm. although I knew he was dangerous. Like, I want to fight him. I want to bless him. I want to bless his family. I want to be able to bless him with money so he can support his daughter and get her out of that, you know, situation, you know. And I took up on that challenge. I offered him an opportunity, two of them, even when he failed the drug test. And that's another big thing in this business. Yeah. Everybody want to cheat. No matter if they putting rat poison in them, they'll shoot that needle in their butt, you know what I mean? They'll put it in their arms. They'll take this certain thing. They'll eat certain type of meat and say it was bad meat or whatever. Yeah. Like, they know what they're doing. In this business, everybody trying to come up and get to a certain point. But with Ortiz, I gave him that opportunity, and I blessed him and his family. He made his first million with me. And,
wow.
And that's great.
That first fight with Ortiz is what showed me how much of a warrior spirit you got. Because, I mean, it's one thing when you come in there and you knocking everybody out, but when you got to deal with some adversity mid-fight, people was like, oh, people thought you was out on your feet a little bit, but you rebounded. Cleaned them up.
Right.
Like, that's when I realized, like, I said, okay, Wilder's a warrior, for real.
He was very skillful. I knew what I was getting myself into, mm-hmm. especially with Ortiz during that time. But, you know, it was for me, it's not win, lose, or draws for me. It's the meaning behind this fight.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to help my family or his family and things like that? And that's what I'm always, that's what one of the things I'm in this business for, not only just to show my greatness, because I feel we all have greatness. But greatness is only determined by service.
Mm.
So every day I apply my service. I tell my children, apply your service. Every day you wake up, what makes you unique from other children, the other mindsets? When you get up, apply your greatness. That's the only way you see success in life, is just applying, or you'll be one of those people that sit around here talking about somebody else or got all this time on their hand worrying about what the other person doing or being nosy in certain business and stuff like that. We understand that misery needs company. And over here, we all happy and like I said, soaking in our peace. So it's only blessings come from our mouth. It's only prosperity, only positive speaking for others. Like I said, even if you're doing better than us, we're happy for you.
Now, Deonta, you have this fight on Saturday at the Barclays, and you're fighting Hellenius. So do you have a connection to him? Like you talked about the connection, you know, that you've had in the past, and you also think about the money that he's getting from this fight, because this is a big deal for him.
Yeah, most doubt. This is a huge deal for him, actually.
This is the biggest fight.
Yeah, and the position that he's in, after this fight, if victorious, he goes to become a mandatory for Usyk.
Usyk, which is a title eliminator fight.
This is a WBC eliminator fight. Okay. So, you know.
So either one of you could go on to fight Usyk next.
Either one of us. Well, you know, for him, he's the mandatory for a certain belt that he has. But, you know, Usyk would be in the audience as well. He said he wants to win this fight. So,
oh, word?
So the next fight could be for a title. You know, and especially if Usyk is a man of his word, which I know a couple of people that have been around and know him, and you know they validate for him. So we'll see what happens. But with my opponent, with Robert, he's never been in this position before, and you know he's always wanted to become a champion for his country, and you know all that and stuff like
he's
that.
From
so
Sweden?
What's that?
Where's he from? Sweden.
Sweden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sweden. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, so this is a big opportunity, a big deal for him. And, you know, he's been my longtime sparring partner as well. So we kind of know each other well. But the thing about it, this is where it counts. So everybody bring the AA-plus game when they're fighting me, for sure. And my only thing with him is just, I hope he be fair. You know, a lot of these guys, they want to, they get to a certain point and they want to cheat and do certain things or whatever. It's so many different products out here that can't be detected, you know what I mean? It's just the drug game and people detecting it, you know, they always behind because there's always something being created and they trying to detect it and get, you know, it's crazy. So we'll see what happens. So I'm looking forward to this fight. It's going to be an amazing fight. Although he's my sparring partner, but when they get in the ring, you know, I turn it on. And,
I'm always rooting for you, but I really want to see you fight Usyk at this point. So I guess the politics must be keeping the Usyk Fury fight from happening then, because they was talking about that next.
I don't know what's going on with that, man. You know, that's another thing that kills boxing, dealing with these promoters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you deal with certain managers and stuff like that, and sometimes they can prolong a fight. They can keep a fight from happening for a long period of time, just like my guy Earl Spence and Crawford.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It is a business, like you said.
Exactly.
It's a business.
It's a business, and a business where the Green Eye Monster is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Green Eye Monster, they don't have no loyalty to anyone. You know what I mean? All they want to do is fulfill his pockets and his needs. And even when it's fulfilled, they try to get extra, you know what I mean, to make sure it's good. And with that being said, sometimes a fight can be prolonged. And when the fighters are ready, I believe, you know, if you're in your prime and you're feeling good, let's get a fight on.
Right.
Like, how much money you trying to generate and try to make? How much money do you actually need to live in this world? You know what I mean? Especially when you ain't got too much obligations to fulfill and stuff like that. Like, how much? And even so, you know what I mean?
Good investments will keep you going so you don't have to.
Come on, you know what to say.
Now, let me ask you this. with Hellenius, you said if he wins, it's mandatory for him to fight Usyk. If he does win, what does that mean for you? Would you still want to continue to fight, or would this be it?
I say I have 3 more years. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people always, you know, like I said, media rather be first than being correct. And they always take my words and scramble it up and make it, you know, get the clicks and likes. You know what I mean? People got to get the clicks and likes to make it sound entertainment or certain things he didn't say, but I'm going to put it in. You know, you got the editing. You know, you got great editors out there to put certain things in there and stuff like that. But I told him I only have 3 years. That's it. That can be from 6 fights to 9 fights. And I'm out of here. You know, I'm to the end of 40. I think that'll be it for me. And that's all the service I'm going to provide. So within these next 3 years, I'm gonna continue to fight, mm-hmm. win, lose, or draw. I'm gonna still do what I do. At least that's my plan right now. I mean, it can all change. You know what I mean? Getting hit in the head and stirring like stuff like that. You know what I mean? It definitely causes wear and tear and damage to your body all over. And that's why I advise all fighters to go get, you know, CAT scans, MRIs. You know what I mean? Brain scans. You know, test your body, see what's going on. Because as fighters, we all, you know, we want to show how tough we are and stuff like that. And you never go and check on our body internally. You know, externally, we might feel good, we may feel great, but internally, your body could be saying a whole different story until you go get checked out and certain things like that. And I advise all my fighters to go get checked out, go see what's going on. You know what I mean? I see a couple of guys are coming out with mental illness and being, you know, able to be comfortable to talk about it and stuff like that. But there's a lot of other things that goes on that they don't talk about, that they don't want to reveal and bring out and stuff like that. And another thing, a lot of them don't have the money to go seek certain help and stuff like that. You know what I mean? In sports, in a real sport, when you sign to a team, they have shit, people run to you. They have certain things already available.
Mental
for
health
you.
Professionals, therapists, you know all that, yeah.
Especially healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays, I mean, it ain't even nowadays. It just been through the history of time. Certain shows is put on, you know, it's a certain requirement of what, how much it's gonna take to get a to support this fight. With insurance, health insurance and stuff like that, but they only get it to the point where they can put the show on. They ain't looking to really somebody get hurt to pay for some stuff. I done had many times where I had to go and hospital bills linger on a year, 2 years, and I just end up paying up my own stuff. You know, I have my own thing set up because I've already learned through the history of time, you better have your own in this. This is an individual business all the way through. It's a team effort. You got your team, of course. They train you. That's the team effort, but they can't help you when you get in that square ring.
I was going to ask you, you know, having football players up there, you know, one of the questions is if you have a son or a child, would you want your child to play football? And 90% of them say no.
Mm.
If one of your children wanted to box, with everything that you said, with injuries and, you know, your head's not supposed to get hit, would you want your child to box?
It's for me, it's all about, especially with my children, how they feel. You know, if they show me passion, if they show dedication, if they show hard work ethic, then I'm gonna let my children do whatever they, you know, whatever's possible for them and they feel like they can do it, I'm 100% support them. I'm gonna tell them the pros and cons of it and what all it can take. And by them being raised into this, they, you know, they see it. You know, they understand, they comprehend very intelligently on what's going on. And if that's something that they're serious about, they got to be serious about this business. You know what I mean? Because I take it seriously and I speak. That's why
you came from a different place, right? You came from Alabama. You wanted to get out. You wanted to provide for your family. They don't necessarily have to do
exactly.
that. You know what I mean? So it's a different fight. It's a different feeling. It's a different...
Exactly, and you don't see people getting into this business that got it made or with a silver spoon in their mouth. It ain't for those type of people. Mm-hmm. It's for people that come out of poverty or looking to help their family, you know, get to some type of financial gain and different things. Mm-hmm. Like, only time you see people that's with a silver spoon that get into this business, they doing exhibitions and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But as far as the business is concerned, and you had to start from the ground up, you don't see that, and we all just trying to make it. That's why you see fighters still signing bad deals with bad promoters and stuff like that. Because the way they do it, they'll sit a brief. It can be $50,000, you know. And if you don't have no money, that's $1 million to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when $100 was like, shit, that shit was like $100,000 to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You held it tight. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that you had to feed the family. You had to feed the family and go to work, and that's gas. So between that time and feeding the family and gas, you really had no extra money for extra curricular activities and stuff like that. This is all you had. This is, you know, and you hold that tight. So when certain promoters come in, they'll bring that briefcase with all that money. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And whether it slide on the table or put it right there in front of you, I won't say names or certain guys or certain information stuff. But they do it. And when you're when you're in a hard rock, in a hard spot, what are you going to do?
Especially you young, you used to fighting for free anyway. On, let me get that bread real quick.
Come on with it. Because you already got in your mind what you want to do with it, that's how right. you want to spend
it's
it.
Already spent.
I was reading this article on a boxing scene by Lyle Fitzsimmons, and he said something that I totally disagree with. He says he feels like you're not a Hall of Famer. What do you say to
well,
that?
Well, you know, everybody going to have their opinion about certain things. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, that's their right to hold that opinion on themselves.
Opinions can be wrong. Dead wrong.
Right, most definitely. But, you know, my fist is already in the Hall of Fame, and so my body will carry with me along with it, whether they believe it or not. You know, it ain't up to them at the end of the day. And what I've done amazing things. You know, I've done things where, you know, these former greats that's in the Hall of Fame man haven't done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've passed, surpassed and stuff. And put the icing on the cake, how many greats you know got a statue? A legit. I ain't talking about where a facility say, hey, I want to give you a statue. I want to pay some money, give you a statue or whatever, or organization come in. I want to give you. Nah, I'm talking about state funded, like a legit statue. Not too many. So when they did that, they put me in a short bus of the few that have statues out here that represent something that really means something. When you get a statue, man, that right, they put all my accomplishment. They say all my accomplishment, what I've done inside the arena, have been set in stone within the statue. So can't nobody take that away from me ever. When I die, when the haters die down, or even with my lovers, you know, die down, when the inevitable come for us, that statue will still be there. You know what I mean? So, and with that being said, you know, I don't care about what people say or what they do. Just, you know, just let's see what happens, and we'll see. I know what the future holds. I know what it's gonna be, and that's all that matters.
Does stuff like that fuel you?
It doesn't. It doesn't. You know what I mean? Because everyday life fuels me. Like I said, providing my service to my greatness, that's what fuels me. I practice what I preach. You know what I mean? I can't say one thing and then go do the other. You know what I mean? My grandma told me years ago, she said, baby, you're not going to be able to talk like others. You're not going to be able to hang out with like other people hang out. You're not going to be able to do certain things like others do, because God is trying to use you. You are anointed by God. And, you know, as you live life and you experience certain things, you understand more and more, you know, what your parents was talking about, your grandmother or certain people, you know, just because a person is old don't mean they're wise. So don't take it as, oh, you better listen to that old man or that old woman. They know what they're talking about. That don't mean they're wise. It ain't. Wisdom come from knowledge, and you must apply knowledge to life to become wise, or you'll be considered as what we all may know. Old fool, you know what I mean? So when she told me that, you know, I've experienced stuff and I applied knowledge to life and I understand certain things. Yeah, that's why, you know, I'm a homebody. People don't really see me. You know what I mean? I don't really go anywhere. You know, I'm happy at the home. You know, I have multiples of properties all over, and me and my family, we travel to different things. We're happy, we're content, and I love to speak positivity on them and to show them what it is to really be loved and show support and be able to provide your greatness into this world. Because if you don't, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be sitting around. And while we know that years pass by, you know what I mean? 3 years. I'm saying I got 3 more years. That's going to go by so fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just imagine you being 25 and that thing you turn up, you 30 years old and 37 years. What a years has gone. You see your kids, they're getting older and older. How I test my kids is their height is, you know, how they can't reach over the counter, so you can put certain things on the counter. Now to the point, they get to the point where they can just reach things and do things. I'm like, man, they're growing. So, you know, you gotta, I don't worry about stupidity. You know what I mean? I don't take in. Because sometimes you can get 99 people that saying great things about you, and you can get this one person to say some foul stuff all out of the way. They got spicy with the mouth, and you want to, out of all these people you didn't come in, and you want to come into this one person that's right. sent you some emotional
garbage.
And people
get more attention when they say something that's like contrary to what other people are saying.
Exactly. You know why? Because this world dwells on negativity. They dwell on, that's why the news always, that's why, you know, it's always bad. And if it's good, nobody want to hear nothing about no good.
It's if it bleeds, it leads, you know what I mean? The news. That's what they do.
And it's so backward. This world's backward. What we say and what we do. You know what I mean? Nobody care about the good. Mm-hmm. Nobody want to, that's cool, that's cool. But everybody want to hear about who and who business, who cheated on who did this, who got shot or whatever. But if anybody doing some type of charity work or helping a family out or keeping this family from the bank closing their house, they should have saved them and they should did it. Nobody don't care about the good in this world. It's all bad and negative. And it's crazy because that's the only thing that could entertain people is the bad and stuff. That's the only thing that can motivate them, incite them. But if your mind was advanced and you had a mind that didn't worry about certain things of the world, that stuff would bring happiness to you. It would bring peace to you. You know what I mean? You will look at a person, you will really be happy for them, not only because you see them doing good, but it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just like music. Music is something you feel and not what you hear. So when you hear people doing, seeing certain things or you hear certain things, that feeling inside, like especially like you say you love somebody, you know you love somebody, it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. It ain't just saying, oh, I love you. You know what I'm saying? It's when I say it, I can feel it. And that's when you know it's authentic, it's real, it's genuine. And that's why I love the people around me. That when you say something to me, you feel it. It's coming from your heart.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what make the body run. Your mind don't control your body. You know what I mean? A lot of people think the mind controls the body, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's your heart. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to follow your heart. Because many times the mind will tell you quit. It'll tell you to give up. You can't do it. And when negativity, when people throw emotional garbage your way, you're like, you know what? You probably think, yeah, they right. You can have all the talent in the world, but you won't be able to show the world your talent because you're worrying about what somebody else saying or thinking about you. So you sit back and chill and let somebody else don't care about what the talk is and let them bloom and blossom and get all the things.
It took you a while to get to that point, though, because you are the person who invited a troll to the gym back in the day.
Well, no, I came to him. I went to him, but you know.
Were you shocked he was there when you showed up?
I wasn't shocked. He was shocked that I came because he was in California and I'm coming all the way from Alabama. So he didn't expect me to come. But for me, I always tell people, for me to truly understand you, when people are describing or saying things to me, it's like in my head, it's like a movie for me. So that's how I press play as you explain. So I see it playing as a movie. That's the only thing that, like, I get excitement or I can laugh at certain things harder than others or whatever. It may not even be funny to that person, but to me it's hilarious because I pressed play in my head and saw, you know, certain things happening. And that's how I am all the way. So when he was writing to me and he was explaining about duct taping my daughter's mouth and all these different things, I visualize her in the chair.
Oh, Lord.
Duct tape. You know, she crying for her daddy, and that's all I went, my whole intention was to go kill him. You know what I mean? It wasn't to box him. You know, boxing was the thing to get it set up to do it. You know what I mean? I brought my gun and everything. I brought my camera guy, and I brought one of my brothers with me to this lovely event that we was about to have. And when he saw me, his eyes like he seen a ghost because he wasn't, you know, they talk.
Right, they don't think he's gonna show up. Mm-hmm.
He didn't expect it at all, you know what I mean? And when I came, man, when I saw this dude, like, the feeling that came over me. So I know how the devil, they say the devil got in me. I know that feeling, you know what I'm saying? And I had to really, like, anyway, it was crazy.
I don't know if that's the devil. We was having this conversation this morning because I was talking about the reason you leave people's kids alone is because when you ask a parent, what would you do if somebody did such and such to your kid? The answer is, I don't know. Because you don't know how you're going to be pushed as a parent when somebody do something to your child or say something to your child.
Come on. Especially when you love your children.
That's right. That's right.
They say you don't know what love is until you have a child.
That's right.
That's why, for me, one of the greatest gifts in this world is having my children being somebody's father.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There ain't nothing precious to being somebody's father. And that's what one of the things, you know, and then my daughter, you know, she was born with spina bifida. And I told her when she was two, I said, Daddy's going to be able to support you and he's going to be a world champion and be able to support you beyond your belief. And, you know, when you see people like that and stuff like that, you just, it just something got in me.
What happened?
We end up, the gym that we was at, they wouldn't let us do our thing up in there. So we had to walk to another gym, and then on the way of walking, I seen this dark alley. And the devil got in me again. I started walking in the alley, and my voice changed and stuff. And, you know, my guy's hand with me, the film guy, he was behind because he was filming everything. And I just, all of a sudden, something just came up. Come in this alley. And I made up my mind I was going to kill him right there in that alley. I made up my mind it was going to happen. Mm. But then a vision came in my head, and I seen my film man snitching on me. You know what I mean? And, you know, he's a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn. I had to take a deep breath because I you know what I mean.
We glad you didn't crash out. Yeah, we glad you didn't crash out.
I can't believe he walked with you and was coming out.
But hold on, the video. I saw the video of you beating on him in the gym. When y'all.
Yeah, that's when we got to the gym.
Yeah, when they got to the gym.
Okay.
And I ended up getting my lawyer to make some papers up so I wouldn't get it legally. He wouldn't, you know, sue me or nothing like that. And he ended up signing it. But the grace of God, I brought two left gloves. So my right hand had a left glove on it as well. And I made sure that I packed right and left because I know I'm, you know what I mean? But it was the grace of God all the way through. It was just the grace of God.
Right.
There was something, you know, in my life. There was a, you know, situation where, like you said, you don't know what you're going to, you don't know what you'll do when you're dealing with your children.
That's
you just don't know. You know what I mean? That can be a trigger point. You know, right there, you're like, I'm willing to lose everything my child.
Right,
you know what I mean? And, but, you know, over, you know, it's a lesson. As you live in life, like I said, through experience and through knowledge, you apply it to life and it makes you wise. So at this point in time, anybody would have do it now, you know. I don't know what I do. But,
now hold on.
I don't know about your field man.
Did your field man ever really snitch on you about anything?
Nah, it wasn't nothing to snitch on at that point
in
time.
Okay, is he still with you?
Yeah, he is.
So you just see visions.
He's seen the movie beforehand.
And you can figure it's kind of like a little bit of a psychic ability.
Yes, I don't know. I know I had the discernment of the spirit, that's for sure. I done had many situations where I've saw visions of things of people that have happened only in the last 3 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds, and then they'll go away. And certain events have occurred and happened.
You were young? Or is this something?
Sometimes you make it have ability to do something. And then things happen to you, you ignore it, or you don't know what's going on
you
with
didn't
you.
You tap and, into it the
you know
way
what you
could.
You know what I'm saying? And as I got older, I started tapping into myself. And the only way I could tap into myself is spending a lot of alone time with myself. Mm. That's why I tell people, it's so refreshing. It's amazing to spend a long time with yourself. To be able to say I'm by myself, or I can spend months by myself, just being me. I don't need no TV. I don't need internet. I don't need none of that because my mind is so unique. It is so advanced. I tell people that a spaceship could fit in. Although I'm from a small place, but my mind is so big. It's not narrow mind. It's huge. And when you have that the ability to tap in with self and to tap in with the universe and the things around you, you find entertainment within yourself. You find that I don't need certain things. I don't need certain people. I don't need certain activities to occur in my life where I feel like I can't be at home. Because some people just can't stay at home. They got to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. They got to go somewhere. They got to be around certain people and stuff. Or if not, then their life is so boring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And blessings to them, but I thank God that, you know, my mind is set that I don't have to be around certain people. I don't have to go certain places. I don't have to have certain things, you know, to have entertainment, to find joy up in this world. I can have me, myself, and I, you know what I mean? And it does great work when you're big into meditation.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And you come and meditation with visualization has been a big part of my life.
When did you pick it up?
I picked it up in the Olympics. When I went to the Olympics, we had a person come to the Olympics to train us, and we had an exercise dealing with meditation.
Oh, I've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, certain things. I like to take certain things serious. You know, a lot of the guys, you know, being fighters, and especially being fighters, you know, certain things, you know, you just want to hold that image, whatever, and all that and stuff. But for me, we was practicing some things. She made us get on the mat, close our eyes, and start visualizing certain things. And I took it very serious, mm-hmm. and I thank God I did because I took so much from it. And that was the start of me starting meditation. So from that point on, I started practicing and practicing. Practice makes perfect.
That's right.
So I started practicing and then practicing it, and I started tapping to it even more so than ever. And and especially when you visualize through meditation, and visualization is just visualizing yourself. It's just like every day, what you want to do today. Mm-hmm. You want to visualize yourself having a great day. You want to do this, what you want to eat, who you want to meet, what kind of energy you want to be around you and stuff like that. And you visualize, it's almost like cheating on a test. And then when life actually happens, occur, you're running through that course. You may not get everything that you visualize on there. It's just like life. Sometimes the toughest things is the things that you don't see, mm-hmm. you know, coming. How you're able to dwell in the moment of that, or how bounce back, or how you handle a situation where you couldn't visualize or meditate on, and then it happened, occurs. But the things that you can't control is like, damn, I saw this.
That's right.
You know what I mean? All right. It's just like running a race. You can see the course. You can visualize the course. You know everything in that course. Mm-hmm. And when you run that course, it's like it was easy. It like breathe. You know, you did it with no effort because you already visualized yourself going through it. So when it was time to do it, it was like nothing.
Easy.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know, it may not happen for you on the first, second, third, fourth try, but practice made perfect. And that's what they say. And I advise everybody to get into some type of meditation, whether it's visualization or whether it's just, you know, getting mm-hmm. with yourself. They got a beautiful app they call Headspace mm-hmm. that teaches you.
Those Headspace, things. Yeah, the Calm mm-hmm. app. I mm-hmm. love meditation. I tried it back in the day, couldn't grasp it. About 2 years ago, I finally learned how to do it. You know, I do it with my beads. Though. I count my beads and I chant my mantra.
Yes, sir.
And I'm able to just go escape for like 10 minutes.
So do you have a certain room you go in? Some people, you know, make their closets into certain things and stuff like that.
I go in a room in my crib, turn the lights off, count my beads, chant my affirmation. I try to do it in the morning and sometimes at night before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Makes your brain still. Love it.
I done got so big into it. Well, when I built my home, I built a meditation room for it.
Yeah, I got that. I'm doing that now.
Man, beautiful. And then when I go in there, I always wash my hands, feet, and face because I want purity come in. And my grandmother, she was, you know, very big into the Bible, and she was a pastor, so she used to always wear white. So I got this white uniform that every time I wash my hands, feet, and face, and put my uniform on, nothing under it, just that. And I go up in there, and man, it's just purity. It come, what I ask for, what I think about, what I visualize, and stuff like that. And whatever I'm going through before I went in there, when I get out, hey, how you doing?
That's right.
You know what I mean? You smiles, right. And right. You're happy, you feel with love. You feel, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and I think the world should be able to practice it and try to get some type of understanding, because a lot of things goes on in the world, man. It's just like, you're like, man, what the world are we doing? Especially, you know, black on black crimes. You know what I mean? I'm so sick of it. And I say how you feel a certain passion in your heart when you say, I love yourself. When I say that, like, I'm tired of it. Sometimes I see events, and for me, I shed tears. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I genuinely cry for my people. I'm like, oh my goodness.
It's like we got enough enemies. We don't got to be each other's enemy. Yeah, I get it.
It's so sad, bro. Mm-hmm. It's so sad to see certain things and senseless, especially when it's senseless killing. Mm-hmm. I understand certain things that they put us in a situation where we have to fight out certain things. And I understand certain things, but certain things are just senseless, man. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. And
still breaks your heart.
Man, I want to shed tears right now.
I get it.
You know what I mean? Because I'm so tired. That's how tired I am of seeing it. I'm like, I know the world is against loving and all the positive things, but like, God, come on. Like what are you doing? If you ain't providing your greatness to this world, what is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you want to go kill, I mean, I ain't gonna promote that. I ain't gonna say that. See, I've learned to certain things that say I hold back on and not say it because certain people can take it out of proportion of what I say. But man, we need to spread more love to the world, especially with our own kind, because this is ridiculous. What's going on in the world is so ridiculous.
I want to ask you one more thing. I know you said a fourth fight with Fury is possible.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Fury say that too. Usyk, you say you want Usyk.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Joshua, if that fight became available, would you take that one?
Most definitely. You know, actually being Anthony Joshua is still the biggest fight in the world to be
made. A lot of people say that.
It is. Everywhere
I go. Even bigger than Fury and Joshua?
Even bigger than Fury and Usyk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably worldwide. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Everywhere I go, they still ask about it. I don't care, man. They want to see that fight. And
I don't think Anthony Joshua will last two rounds with you. It's my personal opinion.
He don't have his own mind, bro. I don't sit here to talk negative about nobody or nothing like that. I expect certain things for certain people and stuff like that, and I hope they expect it from themselves. I see so much potential and so much thing more left that he can do, but I think the people that are around here get in his head and certain things, and he's not the type of person that can differentiate between certain things and of course certain people that have brought you up in certain ways, but sometimes you got to have your own mind to understand what's right and wrong and how you gonna be up for your family and not be up for this man or whatever, because I always tell fighters, we are the product. You're not gonna put no ass in the seat without the product.
Mm-hmm.
That's point blank period. That's it. You can't do it. And by us being the product, we have the power. And when you get to a certain level, you should be able to use your power. That's why I never let anyone dictate it how my career should go. And that's why I'm in the position where I am. Over 98% of the fighters don't have nothing to show for after the game is over. You know, but you see all these, you know, Hall of Fame, man, he was a great fighter. He did this and that, but what did he have to show for? Instead of Parkinson's, instead of brain damage, mental illness, or speech impairments, a certain thing that they, hospital bills that's through the roof that they can't even support. But you see those same people that made the fights and managed them, and still, he was great. They're millionaires.
That's right.
They live in mansions. Their children are taken care of. Their grandkids are taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the fighter that made all this stuff happen have nothing to show for.
Right. That's right.
And that's why I made a stand for myself, and I tried to help other fighters as well, especially, you know, those that were here, you know, what I'm doing, how I am. But, you know, sometimes when people feel that you're from a small place or whatever, you don't really know what you're talking about. They, you know, sometimes I make up my own words. Sometimes I stumble over certain words and stuff like that.
We from the South. That's what we do, man.
And I'm passionate about what I say. So sometimes my passion can overflow in what I'm saying.
That happens up here all the time with us. So it's fine.
Definitely
with
me.
You know what I'm saying? And then like, he don't know what he's talking about. But the proof is in the pudding. I stand in a beautiful seat right now in life. You know what I mean? I have a beautiful family. My finances is amazing. I'm in a business where I do not have to come back to ever again, no matter what. And a lot of fighters can't say that. Even a lot of them at the top, you know what I mean, can't say. A lot of them at the top ask for advances. You know what I mean? Because their money has ran low.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask for advances for the next fight and stuff like that. And it's crazy. And I try to tell them. But with the Joshua, when you talking about a guy talking about he got to go to America to find a heart, and then, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe he watched The Wizard of Oz before saying that, and then that came up or whatever. But, you know, certain things he says, it don't register to me. You know, I don't want to talk negative.
You think he wants to make the fight?
That's a question more about it.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't want to take $50 million guaranteed, they ain't gonna want to fight, bro.
Mm-hmm.
$50 million. And when I made that out on my social media, that came from my handlers.
Mm-hmm.
That came from Al Haymon himself. He said, D, put it out. Tell him. And then Joshua hit me up personally himself, and I'm explaining, like, bro, I even more so got on him. Like, you don't need certain people, bro. You know that, right? You are the product. You can do this. We can do this, man. We can make a lot of money. We can do boom, boom, boom. Everything we said to do, went back and showed his I ain't gonna say the things I always said. I'm better. I'm coming. I'm
he visualizing right now.
The fight is this Saturday.
That's right.
Barclays,
at the Barclays.
Wilder.
Go
we
Brooklyn.
Appreciate you for joining us this morning.
Man, thank you so much. Hey, Wilder is back. The excitement is back. Please come and show support and love.
We'll
you don't
want to
miss this fight. It's going to be on Fox Pay-Per-View right here in Brooklyn.
Do you feel like you need a knockout?
That's just what I do.
Right, you know what I mean?
That just come with me. Knocking guys out, putting them on the canvas and stuff like that. So my title for this second reign is to have fun. You know what I mean? Right. I've accomplished so much in the seat that I sit in. I don't have, like you said, I don't have nothing to prove. But I do want to bring the excitement. So here we are once again. We're back at it. The heavyweight division was boring when I left. I'm back. And now it's back exciting. And the reason you should come and see this fight, because, you know, with Deontay Wilder, I'm always going to put you on the edge of your seat.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen. But when it happened, bam, baby, good night.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Deontay Wilder, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.